All right, we're continuing on this month's study of King James Only. What does it mean? Last time we stopped at a paper by Michael Maynard. He's a librarian and a student of this subject. He's researched it. He's written a long paper on the subject of what is this King James Bible, the origin of it, the foundation of it. We have a book that just came off the press not too long ago, last year, 2006, by the man who talked about this King James Only rule, a new cult, or a new Muslim. Well, this is not easy to know. And to talk about a little bit more, can that possibly go on? But Michael made a lot of research in large pages over the origin of slander, the origin of the term of slander, KJV only. Now, that's exactly what this term is. Please, if you stand for the King James Bible as we stand for, not as the Ruckman position stands for, but as we stand for it in a sound, sane, sensible position, please renunciate and renounce the King James Only label. It's a term of slander. You say, what is our position versus the Ruckman position? Our position is this. I say in this Bible for Today ministry, as I'm the director of it, I say in the Dean Burgon Society, I'm the president of that one also, have been for 27, 28 years now. We say in both these groups that the King James Bible is the only accurate translation of the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words in existence. And we also that the word lies upon Hebrew Old text, that under the Septuagint words, and we believe those words, Masoretic text and the received text under King James, those are the words preserved. Now that's a simple position. That's a sound, sane, and sensible position. And it is completely different than that of Peter Ruckman and his followers. Peter Ruckman's position is that the King James Bible is not only the accurate translation from the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, but it is a revelation. Now, there's a decided difference between translation and a revelation. The revelation is from God Himself. And God Himself gave us the Bible. Old Testament Hebrew, a very little Aramaic, and the New Testament Greek. He spoke those words to the writers, the human writers. The Lord Jesus is the source of those words. As it says in the book of John, Gospel of John, He said, many things I have to say, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself or from Himself as to source. He will show you things to come. Whatsoever He shall hear of Me, He will show it unto you. Words to that effect. The Lord Jesus is this of all New Testament, and by the Old Testament as well. He's the revelator. And the Lord Jesus is the Holy Spirit towards human writers. And those from the words, words, and the writers, in the words, God, and God breathed fire where our words are. We believe that God has preserved those Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, the original words, and the words underlying our King James Bible, the Masoretic text that they used, the text of Receptus that they used. We believe those are preserved words, but the translations are never to be called inspired of God or God breathed. This is confusion. It confuses things. And you can't say that the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek are inspired or God-breathed, and then all of a sudden the translation is God-breathed. But the serious, serious heresy of Peter Ruckman and the followers of Peter Ruckman are the saying that the King James Bible itself is God-breathed, that God gave those special revelation from Genesis to Revelation, including the italics, and so we don't need the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Forget them. In fact, the King James Bible, he says, in some instances, corrects the Hebrew and Greek. And we have a new revelation, additional revelation. Now, this is heresy, and this is the term that can be or should be applied to the King James only. Because all that this group wants is the English King James Bible. Only, meaning King James only. We renounce this position. We believe we need the Hebrew words underlying the King James Bible, the Aramaic words, the Greek words, and we're not Ruckmanites. Well, that's the basis of the distinction here. Let's go on. We're on page number 6 of Brother Michael Maynard's work, 12-page work. We're halfway through. He stopped last time, just what is King James Onlyism? That's the question that we asked at the close of the broadcast last week. Now, Bob L. Ross, an editor of the former Baptist Biblical Heritage, would be an adequate source to inquire from. In his undated tract, What is King James Onlyism? He provides four traits. Now, let me just pause right there. We don't accept all these. Here's a man that hates the King James Bible, Bob Ross, hates Ruckmanism. Well, we hate Ruckmanism, too. He tries to tarnish all of us who stand for the King James Bible in the same manner. Now, here's his undated tract, What is King James Onlyism? He provides four traits. He says this. The KJV only people believe, number one, that only one translation, AB 1611, is the Word of God. You see, they emphasize the King James Bible as the only Bible they should have, and therefore not Hebrew, not Aramaic, and not Greek, nothing underlying it, just the King James. We do not accept that. We do believe that the King James Bible is the only translation of the words of God in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, but it's not the only Word of God. It is the Word of God, but it's the one translation that's only the accurate one that translates properly the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but not as the Ruckmanites teach. There's a decided distinction there. Point number two, what is KJV onlyism? No one has any right to do any further study of the Hebrew and Greek manuscripts. Now, that's we don't agree with that one, because we do have a right. So you see, this is a distinctive feature. And how can they call us King James only when we differ with this point number two? We differ with point number one, in fact. That's why they should not lop us together, as James Price does in his recent book, which we're going to be answering as we get it read. And maybe after this is finished, the King James only, we're going to be answering this tremendous size book, 600 pages, by Dr. James Price on the King James only movement and a new cult, as he calls it. But we're not under the aegis of King James only, because we differ with this decided characteristic. Number three, a denial of the eternal sonship of Christ. Now, if that's what the King James only people do, we don't merit that either. We don't follow that. We believe in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How can God give his only begotten Son if he did not become his Son until he was here on earth already sent? It's clear from Scripture after Scripture that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God from all eternity, the eternal sonship. And so the Ruckmanites deny the eternal sonship? We don't deny it. We affirm the eternal sonship. We're not Ruckmanites. We're not King James Onlyites. And yet they bash us with that term of slander, as Michael Maynard so aptly put it. The fourth characteristic, according to Bob Ross, of the King James Onlyism, free willism of the Pelagian, Arminian variety is invariably the thinking of KJV Onlyites. My friend, we're not Pelagians. We don't believe we can lose our salvation. Free willism. Well, if we're believing the free will that people can, by faith in Christ, can accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we're not hyper-Calvinists. We believe that we can, by faith in Christ, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But the Pelagian and Arminian variety, absolutely false. They believe you can lose your salvation. They believe that salvation is somewhat by works and somewhat by faith. We're not Pelagians. We're not Arminians. And so we should not be called King James only people. Let me continue. Here's where we left off last week. On page 6, at the bottom of the page, if you're interested in this analysis, this article, give me a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Or write to me, simply Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. That's all you need, Collingswood, New Jersey, 08108. Dr. D.A. Waite, W-A-I-T-E. Finally, page 6, Brother Maynard says, Peter Ruckman fits all of these traits. Most likely, Ray, Cloud, and Waite believe in free will, but so does Kondrzewski. Yet none of these four men affirm points 1, 2, and 3. Let me just clarify that. Yes, we believe in free will, as I mentioned earlier. that whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. But not as the Arminians and Pelagians say, that you can lose your salvation. Free will to be saved, but not free will to be lost. Nothing we do can lose us, and nothing we do can lose us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only work on the cross of Calvary that can be done for anybody and by anybody to save us who trust in Him. We must repent of our sins, and repent means metanoia. Meta is change, and noia is nous from mind, a change of mind. We change our mind regarding two things. We change our mind regarding ourselves. We're sinners, lost and bound for hell. We change our mind regarding the Savior. He is my Savior. He can save me, and I need Him to save me. And the third thing, we must trust Him, receive Him, accept Him, that we might be saved by faith. And we can do that by our will, and we're not hyper-Calvinists, as many have stated that they are. Let me continue. We're on page 7 now, Michael Maynard's paper, The Origin of King James Only. The term of slander. Note that on May 1990, the Arminian James A. Price labeled E.F. Hills as using KJV-only views. Notice the Arminian James A. Price. Now, he's the one that's written this book that I'm going to be answering, Lord willing, another few weeks or months, whatever, as soon as we get to it, as soon as we're finished with this broadcast, this topic, I should say, the King James Only. Calls him Arminian. Well, I didn't know whether he was or not, but that's what he calls him. He labeled E.F. Hills as having KJV-only views. But by the Calvinist definition provided by Ross, Edward F. Hills, who is a Calvinist, does not qualify as KJV-only, since one must believe in free will to be a part of KJV-onlyism. This shows how unsettled the definition for KJV-only has been. Now, let me just simply say, they're trying to lop in Hills, who's a Presbyterian, how can they say that he is a King James only person? He's not at all. He stands for the Hebrew text and the Greek text and the Aramaic words that underlie the King James Bible. We differ with Brother Hills. He's with the Lord now some places because I'm a Baptist and he was a Presbyterian. But as far as the Bible is concerned, he had some very good views on it. And we carry his book on defending, actually, the King James Bible defended it, his book. My book is defending the King James Bible. His book is the King James Bible defended. Actually, because I think the King James Version defended. Let's consult Kondrzewski. There's another man. He says of the term KJV only, its definition, it refers to those who believe the King James Version is without error, inspired, infallible, and errant. That's a letter from Kondrzewski to Michael Maynard, December 11, 1996. Now, notice, I never use the term without error. I don't say it's got errors. I believe God is without error. And I know for a fact that when the King James Bible was first translated and printed in 1611, there are innumerable errors because the printers are fallible people. And the mistakes that were there, the He Bible, the She Bible, the Wicked Bible, saying, thou shalt commit adultery, they forgot the not. And so I never say that a translation of men is inerrant. I don't say it contains errors, but I don't say it's inerrant. That's what I call the Lord. The Lord's work is always inerrant. I never say that a translation, the King James or anything else, is inspired or God-breathed. No, it's translated from men. The God-breathed words, the words that God breathed out, were Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek words. Infallible and inerrant. Infallible and inerrant. I don't use those terms for it. I don't believe they're fallible or errant, the King James Bible, but I don't use those words. I use those words for God's words, the Hebrew original words that have been preserved for us, the Aramaic original words that have been preserved for us, the Greek words that have been preserved for us right down to the present. Those words are infallible because God is infallible. Those words are inerrant because God is inerrant. As for God, my ways are perfect, as it says in the Psalms. Now, that's from a letter by Kondrzewski to Michael Mann. Thus, by Kondrzewski's definition, neither E.F. Hills nor D.A. Waite is a KJV-only person. That's true. We're not King James-only people. Hills and I put neither one of us. And yet we're labeled as that in a smear term, a slanderous term, a term of slander. Michael Maynard is excellent in his choice of words, a term of slander. Let me continue. We're on page 7, speaking about Michael Maynard's paper. No one is yet quite settled on the exact definition of the adjective KJV only. Never seen in print prior to 1970, and seldom heard in the first half of the 1980s. But there seems to be a consensus that whatever it does mean, the traits of this reproachful adjective imply an inherent association with Peter Ruckman, which many find undesirable and offensive. Amen to that, Michael. Amen to that. Whenever that term is used, Peter Ruckman's name is right to the fore. Inspired by God, the King James Bible, including the italics, God breathed out those words, a revelation, special revelation, by the Holy Spirit of God. And throw out some of the Hebrew, throw out some of the Greek, and let the King James English correct it. Don't translate in any other language than the English that we have here. We mentioned that last broadcast. That one of his pupils, Samuel Gipp, one of Ruckman's pupils, and I think he went to his school and he speaks for him, I'm told. When Ruckman can't speak, there he sends out this man to speak for him. And as I said before on the broadcast, when he was there on the Ankerberg show, John Ankerberg show, he was asked a question by one of the men that was for the critical text. What if you're a Russian? He asked that of Samuel Gipp. What if you're a Russian? I have the transcript. I have the whole word-by-word transcript. I've answered this John Ankerberg show, by the way, on I think it's BFT number 2777. It's an interesting number, BFT number 2777. And it's answer to this terrible telecast where they had 6 men for the critical text and the other false versions, and only 3 men for the King James Bible, one of whom was Samuel Gipp. And so I think it was Dan Wallace from Dallas Seminary, my alma mater. Dan Wallace, I believe, was asking Gipp, what if you had a Russian, didn't know English? How would he know the Bible? Gipp says, learn English. In other words, only the King James Bible can you use. Don't translate into the other languages of the world. I think that's heretical. God wants his words accurately translated from accurate and proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And he wants them accurately in all the languages of the world. And so this is a reproachful thing Peter Ruckman calls up whenever King James Only is used. In fact, invariably, when they talk about King James Only, they put Ruckman's name right in the midst, right close by to my name, D.A. Waite. And I want nothing to do with that system, that idea. Absolutely false to yoke me up because and call me the slanderous name of King James Only. No, my friends. I believe the Spanish of Dr. Humberto Gomez is an excellent Spanish translation. And I think I believe that the translation in Korean of Dr. D.S. Jung is an excellent translation. Some friends of ours are working on the Chinese to make that an excellent translation instead of the CUV, the Chinese Union Version. I believe the languages of the world should have accurate Bibles, accurately translated Bibles, proper texts, proper translators, proper technique of translation, and proper theology. That's what I favor, not simply English only. No, not on your life. Let me continue. But let us not only consult Ross, let us also consult the definition of the term KJ-onlyism from Bruce Oyen's April 94 article, The Baptist Biblical Heritage. Why I Cannot Follow KJV-Onlyism. That's the title of this Baptist Biblical Heritage article. Pastor Oyen, who says the KJV is the Word of God, defines KJV-Onlyism as a system whereby, now he gives some listing some things here, whereby at least 3 things are accomplished. Here's what this man, Oyen, Bruce Oyen, O-Y-E-N, how he defines King James Onlyism. Number 1, it implies that the Bible was not in English prior to the KJV. was not in English prior to the KJV. My friends, it had all kinds of English versions, from Wycliffe to Geneva Bible, to the Great Bible, all these different Bibles in English. How we can say this? Horrible. We certainly don't imply that at all. Number two, they seem to ignore that the KJV generally used today is different in substance from the 1611 KJV. On this point, Oyen quotes E.F. Hills, who discusses the difference in substance. Hence, by Oyen's definition, Hills is not a part of KJV-onlyism. And now listen to what they're saying here. The second point is it's the one that's used today is different. They seem to ignore that the King James is different in substance from the 1611. Well, and I asked other people to study it as well if they wish to. And if they wanted to add up things, it's fine. I went through from Genesis to Revelation in the book that was published and printed by Nelson on the original AB 1611. And my eyes were on that book, and as I was listening, I listened to my reading from the King James Bible of today. And as I read on the cassettes, four albums at the time on audio cassettes. We have those now on DVD if you're interested in Bible reading on cassette or Bible reading on DVD. We have it. And much less the cost, by the way. We're putting it on DVD. I guess it's on CD, because it's on CD. But I listened to my reading from the tape recorder, the cassettes. My eyes were upon the authorized version 1611 by Nelson, reprint by Nelson. And I came up with about 410 differences to my ear. Now, I missed some. There's a man that's written on this, and he found maybe a total instead of 400, maybe he found 600 more than I did, and maybe 1,000, something like that. He claims about 2,000, but if you look at them, they're not differences in the sound, but simply in the spelling. The spelling are the differences that make, but be that as it may, even if this man were correct, and I said that, this is only my idea. I went from Genesis to Revelation, and I did it in about a year, a little bit each day, and my opinion was there are probably 400 and some that were general, and then maybe 130 or so that were differences that were of substance, adding a word and so on. Well, even if I had that there are 1,000 instead of 400, I'm going through that book, by the way, and checking on the thing and seeing how many there really are that this other man found. I told him, go ahead, if you want to find some more, you make your research, that's fine. I just reported what I heard, what I found, and if there's more to it, that's fine. But even if there were 1,000 or 2,000 words or places that were different between the present King James Bible, 1769, versus the 1611, even if there, for the sake of argument, 2,000 differences to the ears, not the spellings, not the punctuation, there are thousands and tens of thousands of those, but just changes that you could hear. S-I-N-N-E is sin. S-I-N is sin. That's not a change, that's a change in spelling. That's not a change in translation. But if, for the sake of argument, even if you had 1,000 or 2,000 differences to the ear, and I'm looking through that closely to see how many this other man has found, I found 416 or so, he's probably found maybe 1,000, maybe 2,000, but even if it were 1 or 2,000, now get what I'm saying, what is that? 1 or 2,000? When you take into consideration almost 800,000 words there are in the King James Bible. Almost 800,000. What is 1 or 2,000 changes to the ear, small insignificant change to the ear, compared to 800,000 words, roughly, in the entire King James Bible? So when he says they seem to ignore that the KJV generally used today is different in substance from the KJV 1611, well, spelling substance, if you want to call spellings, if you want to call punctuation, but not in the things that you hear. Well, time's up for now. Let's remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible. and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get these. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. And my friends, we're going to come back, Lord willing, next week at this time. We're going to continue talking about this terrible, slanderous word, King James only, whereby they gather up the Ruckman position and the followers of Peter Ruckman and us who are sound, sane, and sensible in our Dean Bergen Society and our Bible for Day ministry and throw us both into the river as being united when we're not united. We're not King James only. We stand for Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words also that underlie our King James Bible. We stand for translating the Scriptures in all the languages of the world. More on this next time. See you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Bergen Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1010, I guess it is, 1010. 1010 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Bergen Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question at your phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is BibleForToday.org, where you can hear this speaker 24/7, verse by verse, preaching from Romans to Revelation. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and ask us about defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore how you can get Defending the King James Bible, or call us, we'll tell you how to do it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you received a defined King James Bible published for the Bible for today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, 56,000 have been printed and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends, the defined King James Bible? All right, we're continuing to analyze this paper, 12 large pages, by Michael Maynard. He's a librarian. He's skilled in it as research. He's written the book, an excellent book, on the defense of 1 John 5, 7, and 8. He called this paper, this 12-page, large-page paper, The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. And that's exactly how it is used. We're on page number 7 at the bottom. Last broadcast, if you were here last time, listening last time, last week, we were talking about this definition of King James onlyism, or KJV onlyism, from a Pastor Orion from the Biblical Baptist Heritage. He had a little different definition than the other man did. But here's the 2 points so far. There are 3 points altogether. Number one, it implies that the Bible was not in English prior to KJV. That's a foolish thing. Of course it was in English prior to the King James. What that means is the King James Version is the only Bible. Those other translations, the Wycliffe and the Geneva, and the Great Bible, and so on, those are not Bibles. That's what they're saying. The real Bible was the King James. That's ridiculous and stupid. The second to ignore that the KJV generally used today is different in substance from the 1611 King James Version. Well, we talked about that last broadcast, and I simply said this. When I, in my humble way, went through from Genesis to Revelation, listening to my recording of reading the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation on audio cassette, which is now in the CD, one disc You get the whole Bible reading, Genesis to Revelation. When I went through that and marked the differences that I could hear between the AB 1611 published by Nelson, the things that I could hear that were different, not what the spellings were, but what I could hear, I marked them down. And as I say, I got about 416 or so of the ones that are different, and then really adding something, subtracting something, maybe got 135, 136. Now, there's another man that's come to work on this recently, spent a number of years on it, and he has gotten a paper out, a booklet out, 8.5 by 11 booklet out, and he's got a different count than this. Well, that's fine. I added, encouraged people to go ahead and count them themselves. I just gave my count what I heard, and I heard about 416 things different to the ear, and about 135 of them made some additions like and or but or very simple things. And so this is what I came up with. I encourage other people to do the same, and this man has done the same. And he thinks there are about 2,000. Well, I've looked at them, and a lot of them are by spellings. I'd cut them probably down to a little over 1,000, maybe down to 1,000 instead of 400 and so. But these things that he's put in many times are not hearing, but spelling. And I maintain the only things we can count are the ones that are what you can hear. Those are distinct words, but not the spelling. Those are not even some of the words that are, you can hear are more very similar. Among and amongst, it's the same word, but you can hear it. And they count these things many times as to spelling differences. There are hundreds of thousands of spelling differences. Sin, as I said before last broadcast, sin, S-I-N-N-E, is the way they spelled it in 1611. S-I-N is the way we spell it. But sin sounds like sin. That's not a difference in translation. The punctuation, thousands of differences of periods and semicolons and punctuation and colons, all these things are different. Spelling differences, hundreds of thousands of differences in spelling, but that's not a difference in translation. And so it implies the Bible is not in English prior to the KJV, and that generally, to ignore that the KJV generally is different in substance from the King James of 1611. Ignoring that the KJV generally used today is different in substance. My friend, I don't believe it's different in substance. So maybe that's qualification for me here, but as I said before, even if this man who made the study after I did, 10 or 15 years later, if he's got 1,000 or even 2,000, well, I don't think he can get 2,000, but most of them are spellings and not the difference of the sound to the ear. But even if he should have, for the sake of argument, 1,000 or 2,000 differences to the ear, suppose he could, what is that among 800,000 words? Look at the percentage. 1,000 or 2,000 as to 800,000? 1 to 800,000? 1/100? 2 to 800,000? That's a very small difference, and not in substance from the King James 1611. So that's an interesting point. The third point that this man, Pastor Oyen, O-Y-E-N, says, according to the Biblical Baptist Heritage, or Baptist Biblical Heritage. Number three, they attribute infallibility to the KJV, something not done by its translators. And I certainly don't qualify there, because I do not say infallibility for our King James. I say it's not fallible, but I don't say it's infallible. I believe that men make mistakes. I believe that men are fallen men. And as I said last broadcast, in the original printings of our King James Bible, there are all sorts of mistakes and printers' errors. But that's not translation. That's printers' errors, because we're human beings. Let me continue. We're on page 8 now of Michael Maynard's excellent 12-page paper. He calls the origin of the term of slander, KJV only, the origin of the term of slander. And that's exactly what it is. It slanders all of us, yoking us up with Peter Ruckman's false position. Page 80 says this: neither Ray, nor Hills, nor Cloud, that's Jasper James Ray, or Edward Hills, nor Cloud, David Cloud, nor Waite, that's your speaker, holds any of these views. These views are of Ruckman. In fact, Cloud even wrote What About Ruckman in 1985 and exposed Ruckman's views. In fact, I've written this same thing. We answered it on the video. A lady wrote in just recently, the other day, as this broadcast is being made, and she said, I want something on the video that has to do with answering Peter Ruckman. And we sent her, we're going to be sending her a video. I also said it when I was in Singapore, in meetings there, in the King James Bible meetings. One of my sections was, what about Ruckmanism? And so we did that. I had a message on tape, a cassette message, cassette tape, several years back, on the ruckus of Ruckmanism in the local church. The ruckus of Ruckmanism in the local church. And so I've written on this about Ruckman, and we don't agree with it at all. Of course, we're having this broadcast, the whole thing. What is King James only, and what about Ruckman? So in his book, For the Love of the Bible, 1995, Cloud, that is David Cloud, does say that he takes exception to the claim that we no longer have a perfect Bible, page 10. Wade and others are more cautious and prefer not to apply the adjective perfect to any English translation. I agree with that. See, I don't like to use the word perfect. We are imperfect as human beings. Anything that we touch is imperfect. We're not perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. So I differ with David Cloud on that answer. Then Mr. Maynard goes on, some look at Cloud's use of the word perfect, then label him as KJV only, but they fail to note he takes pains to cite J.C. Philpott, Terence Brown, and Philip Morrow, and concludes that though they admit of imperfections in the King James Version, still it is the most accurate translation. They also fail to consider the booklet, What About Ruckman? And of course, let me just pause right there and simply say this. Yes, they fail to note he takes pains to cite Philpott and Terence Brown and Morrow, concludes that though they admit imperfections, he still it's the most accurate. Well, it is the most accurate, but I don't like to use the word perfect. Because how can you get a perfect Bible when in the first few editions there was the sinner's Bible? Thou shalt commit adultery, for example, and other errors that they had, errors of printing and the printing style, because it's difficult to get that on paper. So I differ completely with David Cloud on that point of calling it perfect. I say it's accurate. I say it's the only accurate translation from the proper Hebrew, proper Aramaic, and proper Greek words. But I don't use the adjective perfect if I can help it. I believe only God is perfect. We're sinners. And we're either sinners lost for hell or sinners saved by God's grace. Let me continue. Page 8, Michael Maynard. But it ought to be repeated that by the old definition provided by Ross, all these men, including Kondrewski, would definitely be KJV only. And they would all take this predicate nominative as a compliment. Wait a minute. How can they say that? I don't agree with him on that point. It should be repeated that by the old definition, King James only. If they mean that by the old definition, they would definitely be KJV only, I would think that they would not be KJV only. I don't know. I think he's got a knot in there somehow. They would not be. Then he says, but due to Gary Hudson, who relied on James A. Price, the term became a derogatory adjective, KJV only. Originally applied only to denounce Ruckman, but later as a slanderous term to include even those who denounce Ruckmanism and Ruckman. The strategy is guilt by repeated attempted association with Peter Ruckman. Let me just pause right there. That is the genius, the devil's genius, I might add, of using this term, King James only. It makes everybody think that everybody's in lockstep with Peter Ruckman. Dr. Peter Ruckman, though he's a good student of Scripture, and he's smart, he's intelligent, but we don't agree with his assessment as to the King James Bible, or the Bible itself. We don't agree with him, and yet we're tied into that name because they want to use it as a term of slander. Why can't the debate be critical text versus textus receptus? Why is that not the debate? Why do they get the smear terms in here? That's the issue right there. And sometimes you can win an argument against an opponent just by calling him some sort of a dirty name or a slanderous name. But that's not the way to win arguments, by using slander, name-calling. Let me continue. We're still on page 8. Michael Maynard's long page article, 12 pages, the origin of the King James Vulgate, a term of slander. He says, a bit of credit ought to be extended to Bob L. Ross, whose definition did not allow for one to lump E.F. Hills with Ruckman. Further, Ross clarifies that he only wants to oppose the type of KJV-onlyism which is of the cultic variety. Now, that's from the Baptist Biblical Heritage, and third page, it's on page number 3. So, that's what he says there, on page number 3. Only that which is the cultic variety. Ross wants to make it clear that he is, number one, not repudiating the KJV. Number two, not promoting other versions. Those are the two things. Well, I'm glad. I don't promote other versions. I don't repudiate the King James Version. And he says, from our own writings, neither Cloud, nor Hills, nor Ray, nor Waite, nor Kandursky are of the cultic variety. And of the cultic variety, he's referring to the teachings and doctrines and beliefs of Peter Ruckman. And so he leaves us out of there, which is good. Not of the cultic variety. All right, Ross wants to make clear that he's not repudiating the King James, not promoting other versions. Well, from their own writings, neither Cloud, nor Hills, nor Ray, nor Waite, that's your speaker, nor Kandursky, are of the cultic variety. If Ross refrains from lumping them with Ruckman, we can commend him. Let me pause right there. But he doesn't refrain. He wants to throw us in with the Ruckman camp. Let me continue. Then in 1995, James R. White, who advocates a parallel version only view, claimed that the term KJV only defies precise definition and even ran the risk of offending individuals by making broad generalizations. He claimed that he could not avoid these generalizations and explained his definition to include five classes. He does not even not allow others the freedom to choose their Greek text. Notice that. TR, text receptive, or majority text. Without labeling them with this new term of reproach, which actually refers to an English, not a Greek, text. It's a good point. How can they label me along with Peter Ruckman, King James only? That is a Greek name. I mean an English name. That is an English name for an English Bible, King James. It's not text receptus. If we have the text receptus and use it and promote it, the words that underlie our King James Bible, why did they smear us in saying we're followers of Peter Ruckman and we're doing something that is wrong? This is a very serious thing indeed. Now he goes to the book by James White. And he wrote a book on King James Onlyism or something like that. He says, White has condemned nearly all English-speaking believers of the last 300 years by calling them marginally KJV only. What is amusing is that James White failed to mention that Gary Hudson, who began using the term specifically to oppose Ruckman, but now joined the Majority Text Society, MTS, in November 1990. 5 years later, White expanded the definition, which forces Gary Hudson into a KJV-only person. But Hudson directly opposed Ruckman in July of 1990. Also, for me, for the first time ever, John Bergen is now tarred as marginally KJV-only. Can you imagine that? Dean Bergen was solid on Hebrew, solid on Aramaic, solid on the Greek text. That's his basic. To say he was King James only is absolutely ridiculous and stupid. KJV only. Even while admitting that the majority text advocates, such as Hodges and Farstad, would strongly reject the term, he nevertheless included them under this slanderous term. Let's go to page 10 out of 12. When James White was participating in Fedonitz Open Bible Echo in 1995, he was using that offensive term so often that Reverend Bacon objected. White rejects this term. So here's what James White relates. He says, quote, he, that is Reverend Bacon, has written message after message about how unfortunate it is that I even use the phrase KJV only in Fedonitz Open Bible Echo. J.R. White to Blue Hammer, Blue Banner, rather, email of 6 July 1995. Theonomy list. Well, that's what they say as far as this term is concerned there. Well, here's yet another new term. KJV groups. KJV groups. Let's see what this is all about. In 1996, John Ankerberg and John Weldon authored the 48-page booklet entitled The Facts on the King James Version Controversy. These two authors modified White's definition of KJV only. In bold type, on page 7, they ask, what are the basic issues in the King James only, KJV only debate? They say that there are several KJV groups. These are, now there are four groups. See where you're put in, see where I'm put in, and so on. And see where Ruckman's put in. Number one, people who prefer the King James Version above all other Bibles, but could not be classified as KJV only. Right, that's the first thing. Number two, people who argue that the underlying Greek and Hebrew texts used by the KJV translators are superior to all of the texts. I hold that, yet they call me a King James Version only. Number three, those who argue that only the Textus Receptus has been supernaturally preserved and inspired and is therefore inerrant. End quote. Well, that's not a bad place to be. I do believe that the King James, Textus Receptus, I should say, is the way to go. That's the basis. That's the foundation of all biblical translation of the New Testament. It should be the Textus Receptus and the particular one that underlies our King James Bible. It's usually Beza, 5th edition, 1598. People would argue that underlying Greek and Hebrew texts used by the KJV translators are superior to all other texts. I believe that they are. The critical text is wrong. The majority texts of Hodges and Farstad and these others are wrong. All right, point number three, we've gone over the Textus Receptus. Notice, those who argue that only the Textus Receptus, TR, has been supernaturally preserved and inspired and is therefore inerrant. Let me just simply say this in regard to this. I agree generally with that third point, that only the Textus Receptus has been supernaturally preserved by the Lord and inspired. Now, it wasn't inspired as to the way it came about, but the words that it possesses are inspired words. This is a very important point, because God gave the Old Testament Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic, and the New Testament Greek by means of breathing out the words that should be there. Once those words are breathed out in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, those become God-breathed words or inspired words. If those inspired words, God-breathed words, have been preserved, as we believe that they have been preserved, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, down to the present time, those words are inspired words, though they were not given by the purpose or by the method of inspiration as he gave the original words. But they are inerrant words, these Textus Receptus words that underlie the King James Bible. Now, let me just pause here and say, the reason I continuously say, rather than the Textus Receptus generally, I say the Textus Receptus that underlies the King James Bible. There are several Textus Receptus documents, all the way from Erasmus of 1516, of the Complutensian Polyglot of Ximenes, or of the Tyndale or Wycliffe. I should say not that. I should say Stevens. That's an English translation. Stevens, 1550. Beza, 1598. Elsevier. All these different things, and they each one of those so-called traditional texts or text receptors have small, slight differences in wording here and there. They're basically the same, and so I specify which text receptus I mean. A lot of times, people make a joke when I say I believe the text receptus is the preserved words, the Hebrew in the Old Testament, and that'd be the Masoretic and the Greek text receptus in the New Testament. They make mockery of that. They say, well, don't you know that there are 15 or 20 different Textus Receptus? There's the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th edition for Erasmus, 4, 5, 6 editions for Complutensian Polyglot, 4, 5, or 3 or 6 editions of Stevens, 4, 5, or 6 differences in other types of editions of Beza, and 4, 5, 6 different of Elsevier. And so which Textus Receptus are you talking about? And when I tell them the answer, They're mad at me for that. I said, the answer that I'm giving you, I'm taking the text reception, which is generally Beza, 5th edition, 1598, which was the basis of the King James Bible. And they had a few changes, a very small number, maybe 190 according to Scrivener, from five or six other different sources. So I say the text receptus that underlies our King James Bible are the preserved words of God. Now, that's my faith. But it is basically text receptus. And they say, well, that's the word we're the ones that go by, and therefore using their opinions. Well, I'm using the opinions of the people who are the editors of these versions, these Greek editions, and that's simply the King James Translator's position. But which text receptus I'm talking about? It's the words that underlie our King James Bible. Text receptus words. Well, the fourth thing that is mentioned here on the King James only by James R. White, I guess this is Ankerberg and Weldon, I should say. Those who argue that the KJV just constitutes the inspired and inerrant text. That is plain Ruckmanism to the hilt. Vice for King James only. Notice what he says, the fourth thing. The Ruckmanites are KJV groups. Those who argue that the KJV translation itself constitutes an inspired and inerrant text. That is a God-breathed and inerrant, absolutely false text. My friend, that is absolutely false. That is Ruckmanism. I have never believed that. I don't use the word inerrant. I don't believe it's errant. But I don't believe the King James translation is it's an accurate translation of the underlying inspired Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic words. It's not God-breathed. It's translated. It's not inerrant. That is, it's not errant. It's not with, but I don't like to use the term because it's only God's words are inerrant. But it is accurate. And so these are things that constitute a Ruckmanite, and I think that generally those four classifications are of interest. Well, let me continue. The authors continue that categories 3 and 4 comprise the core of the controversy and are our principal concern. 3 and 4, those that argue the text receptus has been supernaturally preserved and inspired and therefore is inerrant, and those that argue the King James Bible translation is inspired and inerrant. These 3 and 4, they're principal things for King James onlyism. How could 3 be that, when it stands for the text receptus as being inspired and preserved? These are the things that we've got to take up. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-9. Ask your book in the King and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite. Mind you can have confidence in the Bible. Is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to continue this. We're on page 10, Mr. Michael Maynard. Slide only. A couple more pages of that. And then we're going to go over to the internet site of King James Only Movement to see some of the misunderstanding that is there on that particular site. Because it certainly does not ring true to the facts. We hope you'll listen in. This is an important topic because when they smear all of us and call us King James only, meaning that we're followers of Peter Ruckman, that is detestable. That is in error. And that is false. And I want you to stay tuned and listen to what we have to say about these subjects. We'll see you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long. All right, we're continuing this analysis of the King James only. What does it mean? We've been at it here several weeks. We've now presently come to the page number 10 out of a 12-page paper from Michael Maynard. The title of the paper, The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. And it is a term of slander, used to slander those of us who are not followers of Peter Ruckman and the Ruckmanite position on the King James Bible. All right, we're on page number 10. Last broadcast, if you remember last week, we talked about the definition of these people that are King James only. John Ankerberg and John Weldon had a booklet, 48-page booklet, on the facts in the King James Version controversy. And they asked, what are the basic tenets of the King James only debate? And last broadcast, we mentioned them. There are four of them. Number one, people who prefer the King James above all other Bibles, but could not be classified as KJV only. All right, that's fine. We prefer the King James of all the other Bibles, but it classifies as King James only. Number two, there's people who argue that the underlying Greek and Hebrew texts used by the KJV translators are superior to all other texts. That's what we believe, absolutely. They said there's several KJV groups. I guess we'd fall in the line of the second group. Then the third one, those who argue that only the text Receptus has been supernaturally preserved and inspired is therefore inerrant. That's where he puts us in the Bible for today. Well, I believe it wasn't inspired by God or God-breathed as to the method of its production, but I believe the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is a product of Bible inspiration because they're inspired words. The process of inspiration was never repeated. It was given when the Old Testament was first written, as the Lord Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit the words, and the words were then given to the writers, whether it's Moses or David or the Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah or Isaiah, whether it's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or these others, John or Paul or Peter, all these other ones. The process of inspiration, God's breathing out the words, that's the only process that we can call inspiration. But once those words have been breathed out and exactly preserved, as we believe that they have been, then those are inspired words. And so we believe, since the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, we believe is preserved, the Hebrew words, even Greek words, Aramaic words are preserved accurately. Those are inspired words, and therefore that's it. But it's not inspired as a separate process or procedure. And I believe that these words that have been preserved are inerrant words. They're Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, inerrant. That's part number three. Group number three, he puts us in that one. Then there's group number four, those who argue that the KJV translation itself constitutes an inspired and inerrant text. We're not in that group. That would be the Ruckmanite group, by and large. And so, and then he goes on to say this. This is Ankerberg and John Weldon. The authors continue that categories 3 and 4 comprise the core of the controversy and our principal concern. That's from page 8 of that booklet. Well, since they specifically, says Michael Maynard, since they specifically list alleged error after error within the KJV, they believe the KJV is errant and cannot be a Bible, since they emphasize that the Bible is inerrant. Well, let me just simply say this. This error of Ankerberg and Weldon, 1996 booklet, trying to get these key KJV groups to put us in the group number 3 and group number 4 together, jammed in together, when we hold to the Textus Receptus and the Old Testament Masoretic Hebrew and Aramaic text being inerrant, infallible, and inspired words. That's our basis. To throw us in like to the wolves and say that we've got the same basis as those that argue the King James Version itself is an inspired, inerrant text and God-breathed text. That point number four is Ruckmanism. You can't throw us in with the Ruckmanites unless you slander us, and that's what these men have been doing. All of these men that are trying to get at our belief and our position are throwing us in with this term, King James only, with the Ruckman, horrible, fantastic and fanatic and heretical type of groups that say that the King James or any translation itself is God-breathed, word by word. Well, let's go on to page number 11 of Michael Maynard's paper, The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV only. Michael Maynard says, note how in 1995, White's category, that is James White's category, category one of his KJV groups, allows him to lump multitudes under that undesirably sounding term of reproach. One year later, 1996, Ankerberg's category, one of the KJV, Ankerberg's category one of the KJV groups is so different from White's that it now allows liberation from that slanderous term to all those who prefer the King James Version. Well, I'm glad that they've got out of that slanderous term. Then he says this, generally, only those who promote modern versions engage in name-calling with their new favorite term, KJV only, which they hurl at anyone who prefers the King James Version. Notice, let me read that again. Generally, only those who promote modern versions engage in name-calling with their new favorite term, KJV only, which they hurl at anyone who prefers the King James Version. But now there's even a new phenomenon, writes Michael Maynard. Formerly, only modern version advocates cast this term at their opponents. Now, even some who love the authorized version follow this new path and publicly label their like-minded brethren with this term of reproach, even though they both agree as for what is best, and on the very same English version. As example of this follows where it is done publicly in print. And this is from D.A. Waite, another King James-only advocate, Kondrzewski, February 1996. He calls this, me, dear speaker, a King James-only advocate, which I am not by any means at all. Well, so here's Kondrzewski saying, I'm a King James-only advocate. I don't want to be any part of that King James-only label, which is tantamount to being a Ruckmanite, which says the King James is verbally and plenarily God-breathed, including the italics, and therefore can correct the original Hebrew and Greek from which it was taken. I have none of that. I have no part of that. Maynard continues, how sad, how grievous it is when two fundamentalists who both agree on the very same English version of the Bible and agree that it is the best version, that one would go so far as borrow this new adjective of reproach from the modern versionists and then cast it at his own like-minded brother. Let me just pause right there. That's what Kondrzewski has done. He says that D.A. Waite is another KJV-only advocate. Here, the critical text people are against Kondrzewski. Kondrzewski holds to the King James Bible, as I do, and then he brands me as one of these King James-only advocates, which I am not. Michael Maynard continues, we must try to understand that not every brother expresses their view clearly. Some use the word perfect in the sense of ideal or suitable. I don't say perfect for our King James Bible. I say it's not imperfect, but I don't like to use the adjective. It's too highfalutin for me. I like to say it's accurate. Isn't that good enough? Accurate. From the proper Hebrew, the proper Aramaic, the proper Greek. Accurate. Accurately as to its text. Accurate as to its translators. Accurate as to its technique of translation. Accurate as to its theology. Michael Maynard continues, people say, I know just the perfect gift for him, but the meaning is suitable. So why do fundamentalists become alarmed and begin name-calling when they hear the slightest inaccuracy of expression of how their brethren regard the old version? Dean J.W. Burgon appreciated good brethren and wrote Lives of 12 Good Men. But some brethren, in direct contrast to Burgon, demonstrate a very bitter spirit toward like-minded brethren by borrowing these new terms of opprobrium and slander, really, and labeling brethren who agree on every other issue on the very same version. And so it's a sad thing when Christian brethren who agree the King James is fine, they throw the epithet King James only on some of us who are in difference, apparently, with them on some issues, and brand us almost as a Ruckmanite type of people. So this is not good at all. The sacred scriptures, says Michael Maynard, say that we ought to increase and abound in love one towards another, King James Version, 1 Thessalonians 3:12. They also say we ought to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32. In summary, this is Michael Maynard's summary in his paper, The 12 Large Pages, The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV Only. He says, in summary, after 1971, when the New American Standard Version was published, and the version controversy was introduced into fundamentalism, churches reacted using ads saying, preaching the King James Version only, where the King James Version served as either a predicate nominative or a direct object with the adverb only following it. Then the first record of KJV only used as an adjective appears to be in May 1990 in the thesis by James A. Price called J.J. Ray a heretic. And from that point, Gary Hudson used the term against Ruckman. And from 1990 to 1994, various conflicting definitions were used for the term. In 1995, White expanded the definition and threw his lasso around absolutely everyone who preferred the authorized version. That's James White. The most obvious conclusion of this paper is that one element is common within all these conflicting definitions of KJV only. That is, the eccentric views of the Bible held by Peter S. Ruckman. And that's what should be limited, King James only, is the Ruckman view. Some persist in identifying every King James Version defender as a follower of some cultist or of Peter Ruckman. And that is horrible. That's from The Love of the Bible by David Cloud, page number 10. Well, that discusses the paper, the 12-page paper. If you're interested in getting it, if you need it, give me a call at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and request Michael Maynard's paper, The Origin of the Term of Slander, KJV only. All right, the rest of this broadcast and the next broadcast, I want to just take a look here at the article in Wikipedia. It's a free encyclopedia. It's on the website. It's on the Internet, I should say. And they talk about King James Only Movement. That's what it's called, King James Only Movement. I want us to read this because it has a number of things that are in error. I don't know whether they can change, whether they will move around at different things, but this has been, I'm sure, given to them by the opposition, those that are probably critical text people. And here's what they say in the King James Only Movement. You look it up. Wikipedia, the Internet Encyclopedia, it's redirected from King James Only. It's redirected from King James Only. There's one thing that says King James Only, and this thing here is the King James Only Movement. I have the article on King James Only also that's a part of this, but let's just start with this one right here. They say this, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, redirected from King James Only. See technical note on viewing the Hebrew characters in this article. And I'm quoting now from the Wikipedia article on King James Only Movement. The King James Only Movement is a position, usually within Protestant fundamentalist Christianity, of English-speaking countries, which rejects all modern translations of the Bible, accepting only the King James Version, KJV, also known as the Authorized Version, AV. The nickname King James Only apparently originated within a popular book by American school church historian and apologist James R. White, born in 1962, published in 1995, entitled The King James Only Controversy. All right, let's just pause right there. They believe that this term originated in the James White book, 1995. Now, Michael Maynard goes back, and he says it originated in 1971. So Wikipedia is somewhat off on that score. But brings in James R. White, who really ridicules your speaker in his book. We've answered this book. At least Dr. DeVitro's answered this. And very interestingly, has done a good job of it. If you're interested in that, call us or write us. We'll tell you how to get that book responding to the King James Only James R. White book. Simply call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and ask how you can get this review and criticism of James White's book. All right, the Wikipedia article goes on, King James Only Movement, and says this, some have hotly contested the claim that such advocacy of the King James Version constitutes a movement. They've contested it's a movement. White himself addresses the question as to whether using the phrase KJV only or KJV onlyism may be insulting and inaccurate. King James Only Controversy, page 248. White concludes that using the phrase KJV only or KJV onlyism is neither insulting nor inaccurate. End of quote. Let me just pause right there. It's insulting because it's a term of slander. It's inaccurate because it includes practically everybody and his brother that uses and defends the King James Bible, including your speaker. And if he includes Peter Ruckman at the same breath with the same word and same adjective, and includes me in there who am totally opposed to Peter Ruckman and his views on the Bible, this is insulting, and this is inaccurate. And as Michael Maynard says, it's a term of slander. Absolutely a term of slander. Well, they have a total of 18. We're on the second page now of this article from Wikipedia, and they have a total of 18 different paragraphs as far as the table of contents are concerned. Let's take them up one at a time as time permits. The first section they have is the KJV and modern versions use different Greek texts. Now, so far, so good, I guess, in there. We'll see some other things that we don't agree with. Let me read what they say about the KJV and modern versions use different Greek texts. The King James-only position is most prevalent within the fundamentalist and independent Baptist, a branch of the Baptist denominations in Christianity within the USA and within the Plymouth Brethren, and strict Baptists within the United Kingdom, UK. The rejection of modern translations is based in part on the different original language texts which are used as source material for the different translations of the Bible. Well, that's true. With regard to the New Testament, and most modern translations are mainly translated from the Alexandrian manuscripts, primarily represented by Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus, and some other 50-odd minority texts. The King James Version originates from the Text Receptus, otherwise known as the Received Text, which is a representative of the Byzantine text type, but not identical with the majority text, as that term is currently used. See also the Novum Testamentum Graeci. End quote. Well, that's not too off the mark as far as the different modern versions are used for the new versions, and modern Greek texts instead of the old-fashioned Textus Receptus are used. Let's go to the second paragraph, the second division of this Wikipedia article on King James Only. The article is called, or the section is called, the KJV and modern versions are different, use different Hebrew texts. First, they use different Greek texts. That's true. They use different Hebrew texts. Let me quote the article. Quote, to a lesser but also significant extent, there's also a corresponding division in regard to the text used to translate the Old Testament between the traditional Ben Chaim text represented by the KJV and the Manasseh text, Biblia Hebraica, BHK, and Biblia Hebraica Strictotensia, BHS, represented by most modern translations. The footnotes in that BHK or BHS suggest over 20,000 changes as compared to the traditional text or Ben Chaim text. However, it is suggested that differences between these Hebrew texts rarely affect the meaning. Let me just pause right here. They probably took this from my figure that I use in the Defending the King James Bible. I count in the Rudolf Kittel's Biblia Hebraica, the Hebrew Bible, I count the various times where they suggest changes in the footnotes. I got 15 to 20 different changes per page, times the number of pages, 1,400 and something. I got about 20 to 30,000 suggested changes by the footnotes. That doesn't mean they have changed the Hebrew text, but they suggest it, and they say, well, don't take the Hebrew, but go right down here to some other reference. And that's what we're opposed to, the 20 to 30,000 differences. Let me continue. The Wikipedia says this under different Hebrew texts. Most modern Christians, though not Jewish translations, often deviate from the Hebrew, giving a meaning based on the other sources, such as the Septuagint or Dead Sea Scrolls, or sometimes just scholarly conjecture. Very often, they base these deviations on the footnotes to BHS. All right, let me just pause right there. Now, that's exactly what I've been talking about. Some people used to get the idea that when I said that there are 20 to 30,000 suggested changes in the footnotes, people got the idea there are 20 to 30,000 changes in the Ben Asher Hebrew text rather than the Ben Chaim Hebrew text. Not at all. I never said that, never believed it. I simply say, and I want to clarify it to you, I simply say that there are approximately 20 to 30,000 suggested changes in the Hebrew words based upon the footnotes. And if people follow every one of those 20 to 30,000 changes, you'd have a completely different Hebrew Aramaic Bible in the Old Testament. That's all I'm saying. Let me continue. The New King James Version has a mixed approach. It follows the Textus Receptus in the New Testament, but BHS, that is Biblia Hebraica Strictotensia, in the Old Testament. So that's that much for that. Let's go on to another division. Another section of this Wikipedia, and we're on the third page of this article, King James Only Movement, Christians and Jehovah. Here's what they say about this section in the Wikipedia. The Ben Chaim Hebrew text, the underlying Hebrew text of the Old Testament of the KJV, as noted above, includes the tetragrammaton in the form Jehovah, that is the Hebrew word for number 3068. That's the tetragrammaton, the four-letter word, YHWH, which is the word for all caps, Lord. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, 6,519 times. That's when it's used, apparently. The consonants of this divine name are ancient, but diacritics indicate the pronunciation of Hebrew vowel sounds were not invented until much later, in medieval times. Let me just pause right there. We don't agree with this. We don't agree that the medieval vowel sounds were made up in the medieval times. We don't believe that the vowels were made up then. We believe that the vowels were an intricate part of the, an integral part, I should say, of the Hebrew language from the very start. This view has been researched and written about by Dr. Thomas Strauss. He is the dean of the Emmanuel Baptist Theological Seminary up there in Newington, Connecticut. And he has proved, as far as to my satisfaction, that the Hebrew language had to have vowels, and the Bible in the Hebrew language had to have vowels in order for the words of God to be preserved as he promised them to be preserved. And the different consonants only, if you have only the consonants, you don't have real words, because the same Hebrew consonants can mean different words. And if you don't know what the word is, you can have changes all throughout the Old Testament. No, the vowels were not added later. We differ with that, but that's what they say here. The Hebrew vowels were added at a medieval age. Let me continue with this Wikipedia article. Most modern scholars hold the view that the vowel points of the spelling of Jehovah, which would seem to indicate a pronunciation Yahuwah, Latin Jehovah, if taken literally, are not the correct vowel points of God's name, and that they were actually never intended to be such, but were instead a Masoretic Urae perpetuum, or a continual Urae, or implicit textual note to indicate that the letters YHWH should be pronounced out loud as Adonai on reading the text, referring to something later misunderstood by early Christian Hebraists or Hebrew scholars. And in fact, many Hebrew biblical manuscripts and the BHS, Biblical Hebraic of Sukkotentia, scholarly printed edition, have Yehoah, so that the without the diacritical for the O vowel, and in certain cases, consonantal letters, YHWH, are given different vowel points to indicate that they should be pronounced out loud as Elohim. Therefore, most scholars do not consider that the name of Israel's God can be correctly translated as Jehovah. End of quote. Well, we differ with them on that. And Dr. Strauss, again, he's a Hebrew scholar, and as I say, he's one of our Dean Bourgon Society Advisory Council. In fact, he's an executive committee member, and he's written an excellent article on who is this God Yahweh. Who is this God Yahweh? And he proves beyond a shadow of a doubt the pronunciation that is correct should be Jehovah, and this is the way we have it in our King James Bible. Let me continue. The Wikipedia article continues and says, while some King James-only advocate Christians believe that Jehovah is God's actual name, they do not necessarily all defend the underlying Hebrew of Jehovah. Note that Jehovah actually occurs only seven times in the King James Bible translation, and three of these occurrences are in place names. So there's only a very small group that uses Jehovah, but we still believe that's the name that he would have for us to use. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter any, should be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for defending the King James Bible, I should say, and also for the defined King James Bible. Or if not, call us here, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll show you and tell you how to get these books, very valuable books indeed. Well, just write for us, direct Bible for Today, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This is Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you're going to have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to wind this up, the King James Only Controversy, Lord willing, going to wind it up next broadcast, next week. Hope you'll stay tuned. These are important matters. If the King James Only movement is indeed a slanderous term, then they should stop using it except for the views of Dr. Peter Ruckman of Pensacola, Florida. And they should not use it for people such as I, who are completely different from Peter Ruckman in many of his areas, many of his thoughts, and many of his views. So we hope you'll stay tuned. It's an important topic, and we hope that you will not use this epithet but will simply say, I believe that only the King James, I use it, but I'm not King James only. Well, until next broadcast, same time, same station. See you then. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Dean Bergen Society and the Bible for Today, Incorporated, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 1012. 1012 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Bergen Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. Or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Our website is simply bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. You can listen to this website 24/7, where you hear the speaker preaching verse by verse from Romans through Revelation. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 10th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Also, do you have your Defined King James Bible published by the Bible for Today? The Defined King James Bible? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, 36,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Not another Bible in the world like it. Why don't you get one? Order one for yourself and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible. All right, we're going to continue this and that only movement, what it is and what's wrong with it, and term. We're going to continue that. And this is taken from the Wikipedia magazine or encyclopedia on the Internet. Wikipedia, it's a free movement or free article, I should say, in a free encyclopedia. You can take that and you can use it. And this is the next section on it. It's called Variations Within the King James Only Movement. That's what it's called there. And here's what they say. These are variations within the King James Only Movement. There are some. The late American evangelist John R. Rice, 1895 to 1980, who published The Sword of the Lord, believed that only the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts should be considered inspired scripture. He taught that translations from those texts, when done in good faith, are useful as scripture, but he expressed a preference toward the King James Version for artistic reasons. On the other extreme can be found the teaching of the controversial Baptist preacher Peter Ruckman, who believes that the King James translation constitutes an advanced revelation from God and is superior to the original languages, Greek and Hebrew texts. Most King James-only advocates hold to a position somewhere between these two extremes. White himself distinguished between the five divisions, between them, he distinguished between five divisions in his books. Now let's see, let's take James R. White, the King James-only controversy. Let's take a look at his five divisions, and we'll see whether we agree or disagree with it. Number one, I like the KJV best. Now, he calls that King James Only Movement. He says this division is represented by the individuals who simply prefer the KJV over other translations. Why is he sucked into this King James Only Movement? It's horrible. He just likes it best. The second division that he calls in the King James Movement, the textual argument. Individuals here believe the KJV's Hebrew and Greek textual bases are the most accurate. Absolutely. What's wrong with that? I believe that they are the most accurate. Number three, the third group that he's talking about, received text only. Well, I believe the received text, the kingdom of the text receptors, received text. Here, the traditional Hebrew and Greek texts are believed to be supernaturally preserved. The KJV is believed to be a translation exemplar, but it is also believed that other translations based on these texts have the potential of being to be equally good. Well, there's not really too much wrong with that. The received text only, that's what I believe. The received text by the Beza's 5th edition, 1598, that's the basis of our received Greek text and the basis of our King James Bible. It's Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598. Nothing's wrong with us using a received text. Now, we believe that accurately in English, this received text has been translated into our King James Bible, and so we're for that. Let me see his fourth category of King James only. He says the inspired KJV group. Individuals in this group believe that the KJV itself was supernaturally inspired. Now, that is pure Ruckmanism. Supernaturally, God breathed. Now, there are some of our brethren that used inspired in a different way. They don't mean completely God breathed and God's Holy Spirit giving them the exact words, but there's some that do. And the ones that do believe this literally are in the Ruckman position, in Ruckman camp. If you use the word, as I always do, inspire, to mean God breathed. That's what it is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3, actually, and Second Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture, that's pasakhlafe, all that is written down, is given by inspiration of God. Those five words, just one word in the Greek text of the New Testament, theonistos, or theopneustos, if you pronounce it with the P sounded rather than silent. Theopneustos, or theonistos, comes from two Greek words. Theos is God. Pneustos is from pneo, which means to breathe. It means breathed out by God. And it's impossible to defend that any translation has been breathed out by God as the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words were when God originally gave them. No, my friend, translations are something that man undertakes. They're not breathed out by God. And he says inspired KJV group, individuals believing that the King James itself was supernaturally inspired. No, it was not God-breathed or breathed out by God. It's a translation from the God-breathed, inspired Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. A fifth distinction, that type of KJV-only group by James White, is this, the KJV as new revelation. Now, this is Simon Pure Ruckmanism. Notice what he says of this. This group of individuals would believe that the KJV is a new revelation from God and should be the standard from which all other translations originate. Adherence to this view, this belief, may also believe that the original language, Hebrew and Greek, can be corrected by the KJV. My friend, that's, as I say, Simon Pure Ruckmanism. And we do not, in this broadcast, we do not in the Bible for today, we do not in the Dean Burgon Society agree with that position at all. And to put these other people in the King James only camp that just prefer the King James, it's a terrible, terrible slander upon them. There's no question about that. Well, now, before we go into some of these other things, which is takes up the origins of the KJV only movement, which is an important thing, I'd like to just divert somewhat to, there's an article, Who is D.A. Waite, in this Wikipedia also. And in that, the D.A. Waite section, he talks about the King James Bible and the defense and so on and so forth. But we'll not divert from that. We'll keep on this King James only in the Wikipedia. And the next section that he takes up is this, Origins of the King James Only Movement. Origins of the King James Only Movement. Remember, we spent several weeks talking about Michael Maynard's pamphlet and booklet that was on a slander of the King James Only people, using the word King James Only to slander people that are not King James Only in the sense of the Ruckman position. And so that's the origin. He took it all the way starting from 1971, or thereabouts, 1970, 1971. But here's what the Wikipedia says about the origins. Quote, the origins of the King James Only movement can be traced back to the publication of the Revised Version, RV 1881. The original commission of the Revised Version intended as an update to the archaic language of the King James Version. The updaters surpassed that goal, eventually retranslating thousands of words and passages. In the New Testament, they often manifested a different Greek text to conform with the theories of British churchmen and scholars Brooke Frost Westcott and Fenton John Anthony Hort and their Alexandrian text. Public outcry against the Revised Version was not few and far between, not few and far between, at the time, with opponents preaching fidelity to the King James Version. A prominent critic, Churchman John William Burgon, wrote several books and articles criticizing the Revised Version. His books, noticeably the Revision Revised, are still being reprinted and his arguments often cited by KJV supporters. Most of this material is published by D.A. Waite's ministry, Bible for Today. See his entry for more details about this ministry and its goals. End of quote. Well, I'm D.A. Waite, and it was also published, really, these books of Dean Burgon by the Dean Burgon Society. That's what it was published by, the Dean Burgon Society, but I certainly agree with it. I've been the president of the Dean Burgon Society for 27 or 28 years now. So this is what they say about Dean Burgon and how he believes that the problems arose in 1881 where they wanted to change the Textus Receptus on which the King James Bible is based. We continue. The Wikipedia says, later, publication of the Revised Standard Version, RSV, of the Bible in 1952, issued by the American National Council of Churches, reignited the same debate. Many American fundamentalists and conservative evangelicals believed that the National Council of Churches was a hotbed of liberal theology or modernism and were suspicious of the vast of the new translations and of this particular translation that they wanted to put upon the Christian church in 1881. And that's, of course, the case that it was, that these people rejected this and they didn't want to have anything to do with this liberal modernist translation. We continue. Wikipedia article says, accusations of communist and Vatican by anti-Catholic Protestants influences communist and anti-Catholic in the new Christian by the church such as the verb which largely many decades widely and the translation in Latin in the age proponing same theory of the radio doctor of I don't know whether it be all the people. He did object to this, there's no question about it. But to call him a Ruckmanite, as some people do, he certainly is a proponent of the King James Only movement and wrote three different books, edited three different books, Which Bible, True or False, and Genuine or whatever. Three books he wrote, Counterfeit or Genuine, I guess was the other one. So these books were very good books. In fact, I read them in Which Bible. I really introduced them to me, and I liked them very much. In his book, Which Bible, he gave a synopsis of one of Dean Burgon's excellent books, The Revision Revised. I liked it so much, I went and borrowed, I guess, an interlibrary loan from Princeton Theological Seminary, up in Princeton, New Jersey, which is my state. I borrowed The Revision Revised, made copies of it, and that's the basis of our reprint of The Revision Revised of our Dean Burgon Society. And so it's a good book, and Dr. Fuller was a friend of ours for many years until his death. All right, let's go on to the next section of this Wikipedia article, More Modern Translations Published. At the same time, many American conservative Christian groups began producing their own translations, the New American Standard Bible and the New International Version. Most American evangelicals who were wary of their event readily accepted these other new translations. End of quote. Now, this is many of us did not, because these new translations were based on the false Greek text, basic New Testament Greek text of Westcott and Hort, or the Nestle-Aland Greek text, or the United Bible Society Greek text, and therefore the same basic of Greek in the New Testament as a standard version. The difference. And sure, many of us fought against it. Let me continue. The Wikipedia says, it rejected the modern translations, began to advocate the ideas held by the King James Only movement. Now get this, such as the belief that the received text is superior to the Alexandrian manuscripts and that Codex Alexandrinus, Vaticanus, and Sinaiticus have been corrupted by Gnostics. End of quote. Now let me just go a step further in that and say, how can they use the term of slander, King James Only movement? And that's what it is. It's a slanderous term. As Michael Maynard has said, a slanderous term. How can they use this term, King James Only, just because the people believed, like myself, fundamentalists believed that the received text, the traditional text underlying our King James Bible is superior to the Alexandrian manuscripts. Since when that is that a new is a King James only movement? That's a textual movement. A textual movement that underlies the New Testament. And they say that Greek Codex Alexandrinus and Vaticanus and Sinaiticus have been corrupted by Gnostics. Well, they have been corrupted by Gnostics. The Alexandrinus, except for the Gospels, the Alexandrinus, or A, is all right in the Gospels, it's traditional text, but in the Epistles and the rest of it, just like the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, corrupted by Gnostic heresy, because the Gnostics were living, the headquarters of the Gnostics were in Alexandria, Egypt. And these are the places where these manuscripts were copied. The Vatican manuscript, B, the Sinai manuscript, Aleph, and Alexandrinus and these others were copied in the area of Alexandria, Egypt, by the Gnostics. And when the doctrines of the Gnostics did not get found in the New Testament, they changed the New Testament to be adapted to their false theology. And this is the reason that Vatican and Sinai have changed many, many places completely. Well, let's go on to the next paragraph. It's called the New King James Version. That's the next section of this Wikipedia article. In the USA, the King James Only movement became one of the most of the core beliefs within the growing independent fundamental branch of Baptists. Even the use of only the texts available in the early 1600s for the main body of the work fails to receive the James Version, 1982, as something less than a true successor of the King James 1611 Version. Although the King James textual system, its Old Testament basis, strays from the KJV model, upon the Ben Asher, BHS, instead of the Ben Chaim text. Additionally, supporters argue that because the New King James Version makes changes in the meaning of the 1611 translators, not as a simple date, it's a new version. At the same time, inclusion of the verses found solely in the text Receptus, such as 1 John 5:7 in the New King James Version, may make this attempt at revision less than palatable to many advocates of modern versions. End quote. Well, that's true. Many modern version advocates do not like the New King James. It's not good enough. It's based on a Greek text that they don't approve of, they don't like, and so many of them throw it away. Well, let's see, another paragraph on this New King James Version. Within broader evangelical circles, the King James only belief is controversial and is widely rejected. Most evangelical scholars believe that the text Receptus manuscripts, which the KJV was translated from, contain a number of errors, and that modern translations are translated from the earliest and therefore supposedly more accurate manuscripts. Let me pause right there. The reverse is true. The Westcott and Hort, Vatican and Sinai, B and Aleph manuscripts are the ones that contain hundreds of errors. Errors. Important errors. And differences. And this is the very heart of the matter. The Greek text that underlies the New Testament of these modern versions, New American Standard Version, New International Version, the updated International, today's English, New English, New International Version, all these versions, English Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Standard Version, all these different versions are based upon a Greek text in the New Testament that has 8,000 plus differences with the Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible. 8,000 plus differences. How do we know that? Because of our scholar, Greek scholar, Dr. Jack Mormon, one of our missionaries from our church in London, England. He's written a book published by the Bible for Today and the Dean Burgon Society, Half and Half. And that book is a tremendous book. And this 8,000 differences between the critical text and the text Receptus, you ought to get. We'll show you how to get it and tell you how to put it together. But because these are differences, 8,000 differences, what are some of the differences? Well, one difference is in the number of words that the critical text has dropped out compared to the Textus Receptus New Testament on which our King James Bible is based. What do I mean, the number of words dropped out? Dr. Jack Mormon counted the words from Matthew to Revelation. He went through the critical text, Nestle-Aland 26, 27th edition, and he compared them with the Greek text of Dr. Scrivener, the Textus Receptus underlying our King James Bible. And from Matthew to Revelation, he found a total of 2,886 Greek words that had been dropped right out of the critical text. 2,886 Greek words dropped out. Remember, 8,000 differences. Now, some of those differences, granted, do not make a difference in the translation, but they are differences in the Greek text, as you can see them in this book, 8,000 differences. But not only has 8,000 differences, but 2,886 Greek words have simply disappeared from the critical text of Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island, and United Bible Societies. What else is wrong with these texts, these B and L of Vatican and Sinai texts, these texts of Gnostics? There were a total of 356 doctrinal passages where doctrines were corrupted because they used and go by these other Greek manuscripts. 356 doctrinal errors. And this should be pointed out as well. So there's a vast difference between the Text Receptus and the other types of translation documents and foundations in their Greek text of the critical belief. There's a whole lot of difference, and there's a very vital difference. Now, let me continue. He says, most scholars, this is from the Wikipedia, talking about the New King James Version, most scholars who support biblical inerrancy believe this applies only to the original manuscripts in the USA. In other words, the accurate copies, they don't think it's just in the copies. They think it's only in the actual original autographa or autographs original manuscripts. However, there is substantial of the majority text of the Greek New Testament and the Text Receptus and the New King James Version preface identifies that there are reputable scholars who feel that the majority text is defensible even if they do not support the particular form of it taken in the Text Receptus. Let me just simply take it this way. A lot of times people try to make a big wedge between Dean Burgon and the modern-day defenders of the Text Receptus. They say that Dean Burgon is only defending the so-called traditional text, or only the text of the Byzantine text. And they say he didn't defend the Text Receptus. What Dean Burgon did say and did write in his book, Revision Revised, I believe it was, he said, call it what you will. Maybe it's in the traditional text. That's another book that we've reprinted. He said, call it what you will. Call it the Byzantine, the traditional, the received, or Text Receptus received, or any other name. He said, one thing is certain. There is a text in the Greek language that is in existence in his day and in existence in our day that was from the very beginning of the history of the church, from apostolic times, that has come down state by state, stage by stage, generation by generation, all the way down through church history. And he did use the word, call what you will, received, traditional, Byzantine, majority, call anything you want, but there's a text that's come down from the original apostles and apostolic days. And that's the text that he's defending. And so, Text Receptus is right now the Majority Text Society. There's another whole group of society called the Majority Text Society. They're trying to distance themselves from the Text Receptus. In reality, the majority text of Hodges and Farstad and of Robinson and Pierpont differ from the Text Receptus underlying our King James Bible in about 1,800 places. Now, certainly they're closer to the Text Receptus that we hold, our text, which differs in 8,000 places, but they differ in one place. That's the advocates say that the Text Receptus is just one small part of the whole Byzantine traditional text position. This is false. They say just because Erasmus had 7 to 10 manuscripts in his hand, which is may or may not be true. He looked at 100 to 200 or 300 other manuscripts in the libraries of Europe. But they say because Erasmus had these manuscripts, the Text Receptus is only based upon those manuscripts that he had. Absolutely false. The Text Receptus, that was received down through the church's history. And that is what we're talking about. It's not simply 5 or 10 or 7 or 8. In the first place, the King James Bible was not taken from the Erasmus text in 1516, but in the Beza's 5th edition, 1598 text, 82 years later in 1598. And that's the position. But the Text Receptus, and that is called the traditional text. There's nothing different. Now, Dean Burgon said there may be a few changes, but to make the changes, he said that would take a lot of time and energy, and he was not prepared to do it in his day. And so we should not in our day as well. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you're going to have a good confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Now, friends, we're going to continue talking about a new subject next time. We've handled this new King James and the King James Version, various other things, and the King James only, and we want you to understand that this should not be used as to those of us who stand against the Ruckman position. It should be limited to that position, because we're not King James only in our Bible for Today ministry and our Dean Berg on Sunday ministry. We stand for the King James Bible as the only accurate English text, but we also stand for the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie that King James Bible. And we're not simply only King James or only English. We've got all of the facilities of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek at our disposal, and we should not be called the slanderous term KJV only, because it simply is not true, and it draws us into the scandalous, scandalous position of Dr. Peter Ruckman from Pensacola, Florida. Well, we hope to see you next broadcast. Same time, same station. Until then, so long.